from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, we're back. We're so back.
And we're back.
I'm Kyle. That's James. Good morning, everybody. I got to tell you, if you can, at your job, if you are able to, if you have time off to use, use it. I'm just saying, not a lot of things better than just taking a couple days. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. People going on the Friday when they said, "See you Monday," and I this coworker's here, and I say, "I'm sorry," on Monday because I was here Monday, and say, "All right, see you tomorrow." I'm like, "I'm gone all week. I'll see you next week." And people are like, "Oh, where are you going?" Nowhere. I'm doing stuff around the house. I've had so much yard work that's been neglected. I had errands to run. But because of where I live and because of my work here, I get home like right towards the end of the business day. So I just had different errands and stuff I had to do. So yeah, I just did that. I did my writing. Just hung out. Listened to the show a little bit. It was great.
All right.
Use your time off, man.
You did listen to the show. Well, if I had time off, I would, but...
That's why I said, if you can...
If you can...
Which, I mean, we can talk. You can. Anyways.
Yeah.
yeah, if you have that opportunity, you should. It was great.
Yeah, I'm not a... Like, we like to vacation, so I'm not... I don't usually do a lot of stay vacations, but, like, I used to really like the off seasons when I was at NBC.
Because yeah.
It's just like, you still had to write... Mm-hmm. They still wanted a story once a day. That was like my last 3 years. Before that, it was like, oh no, during the off season, if there's nothing going on, don't worry about it. That was always the case. Mm-hmm. Like if we need to put something up on the site, we'll handle it here.
And yeah.
It's like, okay. My first boss there was like, hey, if you leave the country, tell us. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Like if you're going to like go to Mexico, go to Europe, whatever, just tell mm-hmm. us before you go. So we know that you're out of the country because mm-hmm. you are like technically you're on the clock, but you're really
sure.
not
like sure.
we don't care.
Right.
So it was very nice, but
that's awesome.
That's not my current situation.
Sure.
Cause we have a daily show.
Yes.
Which I love.
Me too. It's nice to get away though. I got to tell you, it was really, really nice. Shout out to you. Great job. Jesse, Jake Gayden, Sean Cunningham.
Yep.
Ham and Sides went off without a hitch.
Yeah, we had a good time. We had a good time. So it's always good to let Jesse stretch his legs a little bit. And Jake and Sean coming in was very, very appreciated. Sean and I just kind of riffed. And then we for an hour plus, we were waiting to see if Clyde Drexler and Michael Cooper and it was supposed to be Gary Payton as well would show up or not.
Yeah.
And it just kept going sideways. And then they couldn't use a StreamYard link. And so we kept getting like a green screen. And so we would try to bring him in. So eventually they called in.
But oh, great.
It was just Michael Cooper and Clyde Drexler. And they were like super high energy.
Yeah. My Coop is great.
Oh, yeah. Super fun.
So funny story about being a producer. Have had Michael Cooper on before. Great. I don't think I've had Clyde Drexler on before, but at 95.7, he had been on the station. He was great. And it sounds like they were great on this program.
Yeah.
Gary Payton, hard guy to get a hold of.
Mm.
And especially at the Warriors flagship station where I used to work, Gary Payton II was a thing.
Yeah.
And his kind of rise into being a key role player for Golden State was like a really fun story. And so we were trying hard as heck to get a hold of Gary Payton. And we would call these numbers and we're looking up and we're asking around. We're seeing if people have a phone number. And I call this one number and a male voice answers and says, hello, kind of like tepidly.
Not sure if you're a telemarketer
or
not. What we're all doing at this point, because I don't know about you, but my phone is ringing like 17 times a day with people who are like trying to get me to vote for somebody or something.
I don't know what happened, but I don't get those.
Oh, no, I get them. Like,
I don't get
the robocalls.
I don't get texts. I get nothing from any candidates.
Oh, I get them all. You should not have said that, because now you will.
They're listening into
the world.
I think it's because, never mind. So I call what I believe to be Gary Payton.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, and this is pro tip for everybody out there, when you call an athlete or a celebrity, and you're trying to get them on your radio program, you don't do small talk.
Okay.
You don't go, they say hello, and you go, hey, is this such and such?
Oh.
Because, is this Gary Payton?
Yes.
Because they will often go, nope. Or they might go, yeah, who's this? And then, oh, I'm Kyle from ESPN 1320. How's it going? And they're on the defensive the whole time.
Of course.
So what you do is you just blow through the normal greeting.
Oh.
They say hello. You go, Gary, what's up? This is Kyle Madsen from ESPN 1320 out in Sacramento. We're talking about X, Y, and Z. We'd love to get you on for 5 to 8 minutes sometime today. Whenever you have time, we'd really love to chat with you. Something along those lines.
Of course.
And they will either at that point let their guard down and go, oh, okay, yeah. Or they'll go, not interested.
You know, got
whatever.
It.
Lose my number, whatever they say. Great. This person, this man answers the phone. It was a male person. And goes, hello? But like I said, kind of definitely a little tepid. And so I launch into, hey, Gary, this is Kyle with the station I used to work at. You know, GP2 has obviously been awesome, blah, blah, blah. And then a voice, that same, almost certain it was the same voice, goes, oh, you have wrong number. I had never had that happen before. I went, so this isn't Gary Payton?
Oh,
and silence.
No.
Like, all right, you got me. I'm pretty sure it was Gary Payton. I'm 87% sure it was Gary Payton.
Gary Payton just totally changed his voice.
I was shook.
Yeah,
I'd never had that happen. I just was like, all right.
Yeah.
So I stopped trying to get a hold of Gary Payton after that, because I'm pretty sure I did, and he didn't want to talk to me. So.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm glad Cooper and Clyde Drexler were good. They're on talking about the big three, right?
Yeah, they were talking about the big three. They were super high energy, super fun. You know, they had just named the MVP, which was Michael Beasley. And they
not
had,
a surprise,
and then the defensive player of the year was Corey Brewer, Kings legend Corey Brewer. I asked Michael Cooper if Corey Brewer reminded him of himself. And he said, oh, yeah, a super skinny guy. Yeah, he's like, yeah, we're both super skinny. So, yeah, they had a good time with that. I didn't drop an S-bomb, did I? No.
I dumped it just in case.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
It's not a shock that Michael Beasley was the MVP of the big three.
No.
He was so good in college.
Yeah, he would, like, the fact that Michael Beasley was, like, the number
and two. And he's, what, like, 34? 35?
He's tried to get back in the league forever. No, he's a number two overall pick behind Derrick Rose, I believe. Yeah. He just could not figure. I think he's
35.
I think it was more about being like a good teammate and mm-hmm. figuring out how to put in the work and how to stay focused and all that stuff. I don't know. He's a bucket, that's for sure. He can score, that's for sure.
Him being dominant in a 3-on-3 setting.
Yeah, well, and they also have a really good argument for the big three representing Team USA at the Olympics. Like, just let us bring any of the big three.
Yeah.
Like any of, like, we'll put together an all-star team or whatever. And then they tried to get, the Netherlands to come and play, who won the gold, to come and play against the big three. And they had said yes, and then FIBA put the kibosh on it. And so that's not going to happen.
Is it because the big three is not like a FIBA sanctioned thing?
Yeah, it's probably because it's non-sanctioned at all. So, but I mean, like, we didn't show up well in the tournament, you know, at the Olympics, unfortunately. And so there's also the crazy thing. Like, so Dave Rose is the head coach at BYU,
mm-hmm.
or he was forever. I'm not sure if he still is. With Jimmer, though. And we had Dave Rose on years ago on the podcast to come and talk about Jimmer when Jimmer might get drafted by the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And super positive, super good guy. And then, like, doing the research on him, like you do when you have mm-hmm. a guest coming in, we figured out that he's like the fifth member of Five Slamma Jamma. It's like Clyde Drexler, like all of these.
Oh, hilarious.
Houston, like the incredible team from Houston in the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
Like that. The Houston, the college,
mm-hmm.
like he's their point guard with Drexler. And so we were able to talk to Drexler about that and a little bit. Like, they're super fun. They're super high energy. And, you know, I think they're putting together a good product. It gives you summer basketball.
Yeah.
So, and they're expanding. So there's going to be actually, I think, 7 or 8 cities with a team now.
Cool.
Moving forward. It's
Love
not
it.
Just going to be like a roving tournament.
Yeah. Didn't Shams report that the league was going under?
I don't know. It's
I feel like that was a thing that got reported a while back.
Oh.
Well. I shouldn't have said Shams. I can't remember who it was.
Okay.
But somebody reported, I felt like a while back, that the big three was cooked. And it sounds like they're going the opposite direction. That's cool.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Elsewhere from our time away, or from my time away, big shout out to the Sacramento Rivercats. We had a blast in the suite on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I had not had that good of a time at a baseball game, or certainly at a minor league baseball game in a while.
Yeah, I mean, the suite itself is what is set up so cool to have, like it has an air conditioned room mm-hmm. and then windows that you can open.
Yeah,
that
go the big out wide windows. Yeah,
but it was so like chill, like
yes.
the Delta breeze came in, mm-hmm. like it was very manageable as a day.
Yeah,
and then everyone was super nice.
So I didn't know this about the way the Rivercats do their suites, because the only time I've been in suites at a sporting event, it's the suite and that's it.
Mm.
But at the Rivercats, there's a suite with like a table and chairs and you can order and they deliver food to the suite, and there's cabinets and ton of what it's like counter space.
Mm-hmm.
And there's seating on the inside. But then also you can walk out and there's rows of seats on the outside, like actual stadium seats, just on the outside.
Yeah.
In your suite or on the outside of the suite, which is really cool. I had no idea. But Nate and Porter were out there. Our friends Iggy and Marina, Joe and Christina all came out. Ken, Jalen, John, Ryan, everybody that came out to hang out was a blast, man. Everybody was super cool. We had a great time and enjoyed some Rivercats baseball and enjoyed a good Friday night.
Yeah, I think it's cool too. Jalen just put up there. He was able to bring his girlfriend to her first baseball game.
Oh, hell yeah.
I thought it was really cool to have people there that, you know, you don't get to hang out with all the time. And it just happens, like, Nate and Porter, shout out to my guys there. I played softball with them, and they just happened to win. I'm like, I went over and looked. I'm like, hey, I know that name.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they showed up, and we had a good time.
Yeah, dude. It was really cool. So thanks to everybody who came out. Thanks to the Rivercats. Quick side note. We talk about our promotion staff a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they put in a ridiculous amount of work. The amount of events that they go to versus the amount of people they have is just insane.
Yes.
And they put in so much work, and they do so much good for this cluster and for our station, and they all work really hard specifically for our station, and we appreciate the hell out of that. I was supposed to help Jackie from promotions at the Rivercats game. Help her get set up and all that. A couple things happened, and another promotions person, Danielle, ended up being there to help out Jackie. So I was just kind of a third set of hands.
Yep.
Turns out, they do not need a third set of hands.
Mm-mm.
It was a machine, dude, getting the table set up, getting the tent up, getting the, it's like an easy up, right? But then they have these like side rails that turn it into like a little box.
Mm.
And so they side, and my brain was melting watching how fast all of this is happening. And I'm like, can I help? And they were like, no.
We got it.
This entire table, the entire ESPN 1320 setup goes up in like 4.5 minutes. It was insane.
Yeah, I've been there for, I went to a Republic game and helped them tear it all down at the end of the night. And even that was really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, wow, that you know what you're doing. You've done this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is like a well-oiled machine. It's almost like when you have a soccer team, mm-hmm. like you get so used to like the setup of popping up the pop-up tents and putting out the chairs for the kids to sit in, and then you go to your seat and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like they have it down to a science.
Yeah, they're pretty incredible. So salute to the promotion staff for being out there at the Rivercats game as well. Okay, something I want to get to sports-wise that happened while I was gone. The Kings schedule came out, and I was just kind of sifting through it. And if this is repetitive, that you, James, and Sides had already talked about, sorry, I'm going to get these takes off. The first thing that jumps out to me just when you start going through the schedule,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there are zero stretches of games where you're going in and you're going like, oh yeah, that should be like a 5-1 stretch.
Oh yeah, it's tough.
It is the West is brutal, dude.
It is. I think the one stretch that we talked about was, it's late in the season when they have the 6-game road trip. But that's a 6-game road trip in the last 2 weeks of the season leading into the final 3 games. Yeah. And I mean, as far as teams, and like, look, there are going to be plenty of those teams on that list right there are going to be fighting to get them the number one pick because of Cooper Flagg. But like, in all honesty, like that stretch of games right there is one where you could go 5-1 or 6-0 or mm-hmm. or 4-2. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh no, that looks like a lay down, you know, mm-hmm. stretch. But you're also flying in that on that trip like thousands of miles. Even one of their other road trips, it's the strangest thing. Why do they do this to the Kings? They go.
Can I guess what we haven't talked about this? Can I guess what you're going to say?
Okay.
We haven't talked about this. Is it the November 1, 2, and 4 where they go Atlanta, Toronto, Miami?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, why are insane. You adding a 3.5-4 hour flight?
Just ridiculous.
And then back.
They're in Atlanta, and Miami's right down there.
Right there.
That's like a 40-minute flight?
Yes.
Atlanta to Miami?
Yeah, if that.
And then you just hit and then you get the day off, and you hit the long flight on your day off up to Toronto.
Yes, but no. That's not what happens. So that flight in itself, that trip, you're looking at like 7,000 miles at a minimum, maybe 8,000 miles for no reason. No reason at all. Like who makes this? It's almost like they're intentionally messing with the Kings.
Like these are more normal road trips. Phoenix, San Antonio. That's a short jump. Minnesota and Portland with a day off in between. Totally normal. Memphis, San Antonio, super normal. Oklahoma City, Minnesota, cool. Dallas, 2 in New Orleans, cool. The yeah. Atlanta, Toronto, Miami, all the way home. I don't understand that. Reduce your carbon footprint, NBA. Come
yes,
on.
they've did this to the Kings last year, the last couple of years, where some of the trips just don't make any logical sense at all.
Yeah.
Even like the New York, Boston, Brooklyn. I mean, at least you're able to, I think that they stayed in the same hotel in New York.
I believe that's the case. Yes.
Like the whole weekend, yes. Right? So it wasn't that bad. Still, you couldn't have gone.
Doesn't make a ton of sense, though.
Yeah, or I remember this season, the Kings had a back-to-back against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas sat in Sacramento for like 3 days.
Yes.
Then the Kings came into town. There was like a Tuesday where they could have played, but instead the Kings played on Wednesday and Thursday against Dallas and then another team.
Yes.
It's like, and Dallas was just sitting there for like 3 days. Why didn't you move something?
So strange.
I guess it could be that the arena was already rented out or something, but...
I remember specifically that was not the case.
It's just weird.
It was just a weird scheduling quirk.
Oh, the other thing is nationally televised games. Mm-hmm. So that might have been the issue, that they needed the nationally televised game on a specific day of the week.
Oh,
and not
maybe.
On another. So that's because there's so few West Coast teams, they have, that's why like the Lakers, the Clippers, mm-hmm. Golden State have always got a lot of a ton of nationally mm-hmm. televised games because they need the late time slot.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Kings aren't up to snuff, then they don't get into the nationally television game bucket.
That makes sense. I think the easiest stretch on the schedule when I was looking, and you mentioned it, the calculus on this could change a lot depending on how eager teams are to try and get that top pick for Cooper Flagg.
Yep.
But I think it's that April stretch where it's at Washington, at Charlotte, then they're at Cleveland and at Detroit. And I think they start that road trip in Orlando.
Yeah.
It's Orlando, Indiana, Washington, Charlotte, Cleveland, Detroit. That's the whole road trip. But that's the only stretch where you go, okay, yeah, they could get 5 out of those 6.
Yeah.
And you feel okay about it. But other than that, man.
It's wild. Well, I could even see them, you could lose the first 2 games in that trip.
Totally.
And then scramble to try to get 4 on the backside.
And the Detroit one is on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
So the maybe the easiest game in that stretch.
And a getaway game.
Is it? God. Final game of the road trip, and it's on a back-to-back. That's tough. I love the in-season tournament, I've decided. And I was kind of on the fence until I got excited to see that there's those 3 Fridays in a row that are in-season tournament games. And I was really skeptical of it last year. But then when you got to the arena, and the uniforms are different, and the court is different, it just feels big.
No, I agree. I just want to know what it feels like in year 2, year 3, year 4, if the nostalgia of it wears off, because I kind of feel like it might.
Like the newness, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it might be like, okay, this isn't really that cool. Why don't we just play the games? But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. So they did get a big sponsorship out of it, so good for them.
Yeah, the Emirates? Emirates in-season tournament? Emirates Cup? The Emirates NBA Cup.
Emirates NBA Cup.
Totally.
Yes.
They play the Lakers on October 26th, and then they get them again December 19th, 21st, and 28th. Is it? And then they don't get Golden State until January. They don't get Golden State until January 5th.
That's really bizarre. They're done with the Lakers in the first 30 games of the season, and then they don't play the Warriors until late. I think, again, we talked about this a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. I really do think for divisional games, you should be able to map them out
mm-hmm.
early, mid, late, mm-hmm. you know, break them up into...
Yeah, totally.
And so you're getting a good sample size of a team at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. a team at the end of the season. I mean, again... You play the Lakers 3 times, and if you have 1 major injury, you could lose all 3. Like, mm-hmm. you play them 3 times in 9 days in December. And I think the same thing goes for the Lakers, right? The Lakers clearly could have injuries that wipe them out right there. Mm-hmm. But I would rather, like, a larger sample size, so when you get to the end, you understand that you were the best team in the division. Not mm-hmm. that you just happened to be the team that was hot when other teams were injured or not, you know, mm-hmm. playing well, whatever it might be. So,
I kind of worry too. Not worry. That's the wrong word. That's strong. I think I would be more concerned with getting a division team, and they get that stretch at the Lakers in December, which is not too bad. But I kind of wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve early for the Kings,
mm-hmm.
as they're figuring out A, what their rotations look like exactly, and B, how DeMar DeRozan fits in.
Yep.
If there's just a couple of hiccups early, where, like you just said, maybe they lose to Team X. I don't know, whatever team it is. Maybe they lose to them a couple of times early in the year, and that just kind of dooms them for seeding purposes.
Well, that I think the team that you worry about that with is Minnesota. The Kings open against Minnesota. They play the NBA Cup game against mm-hmm. Minnesota early. Mm-hmm. So I think by November 11th, you've already played them like two of the three times you're going to play them.
Yeah.
And so that to me is one of those situations where you kind of wish it was a little more evenly distributed, but it is what it is. I mean, you got everyone plays everybody pretty much the same amount. I do like that they only play New Orleans three times this year.
Yep.
Which is good because last year they played them five times in the regular season and then the play-in game. So six times and we're 0-6.
Yeah, they got that road back-to-back February 12th and 13th. So right before the All-Star break.
Right before the All-Star break and right after the NBA trade deadline. So between, you know, the Brandon Ingram situation and whatever might be happening with the Kings at that point, those teams could look strangely different at that point.
And that's kind of the thing too. When I say there's no real easy stretches on this schedule, I have no idea what Memphis is going to look like. The Kings may just be way better than Memphis.
Yeah.
And those games are quote unquote easy, winnable games. Mm-hmm. Utah, no idea. Houston, no idea. San Antonio, no idea.
Yeah.
I just kind of lean toward, man, Houston was trending the right way. San Antonio is trending the right way, and Wemby certainly is. I think that's kind of where I lean with them. But, I mean, that's where schedule prognostication is so hard. That's why I hate strength of schedule stuff before the season.
No, I do too. Yeah.
They have the third hardest schedule based on last year. Go, okay, cool, great.
Yeah, it's,
it doesn't matter.
It definitely doesn't matter. Even, man, you talked about that stretch early in the season, the Atlanta, Toronto, Miami. That starts in Utah, which even elongates the trip more.
Yeah.
Because Utah isn't straight across. You got to go up to go to Utah and then back down to Atlanta.
Yeah.
What a weird trip, man.
Very odd.
And that's, you play five of the first seven games on the road. We're talking about that four-game road trip. That's one of the first seven games of the season. Well, it's four of the first seven games of the season. And then you come back and you play Toronto again. So who knows? You'll never see Toronto ever again after, what is it? November 6th.
You've already played. And then Toronto's just done.
You've played your two games against Toronto. And then, like, even early, you play Phoenix twice early. See, this is okay for me. You play Phoenix twice early. You finish with Phoenix, and then you play Phoenix once in March.
January. Oh, March.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's okay for me. I don't like the playing one team all the time right in the beginning of your season, and it's over.
Yeah, I get they're trying to cut down on travel or whatever they're trying to do, but I'm with you. I would definitely prefer they stretch it out. Mm-hmm. Last thing that really jumped out to me when I was looking at the schedule, that March 22nd through 25th stretch that everyone's circling.
Yep.
Where they get Milwaukee a day off and then Boston and Oklahoma City back to back.
Yeah.
Ooh. You're going to learn a lot about the Kings in that stretch.
Yeah, but that entire stretch, if you go back even a little bit, you got Golden State, Phoenix, Memphis, Cleveland, Chicago, which that's going to be the first time Chicago comes to Sacramento, DeMar DeRozan's old team. But then Milwaukee, Boston, OKC. That's, and then now head off on the road for a six-game road trip. And then come
the
back
easy
for,
six-game road trip, quote-unquote.
Yeah, then you finish with Denver, Clippers, Phoenix, last three games of the season.
They're going to earn it, man.
Well, or they won't.
Yeah, if they're going to be a team to be reckoned with, we're gonna find out there in that late March, early April stretch, for
definitely.
Sure. So I don't want to spend all day talking about the schedule. I just didn't get a chance to talk about it on the radio, so I wanted to get it out of the way up top here. We've got a ton of preseason football to talk about. I learned a lot about the 49ers last night. The Bay Bridge series is officially over. We'll talk about that as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, and it's Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it's exactly who it is. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. All right, a couple things to get to here before we talk preseason football. Mm-hmm. First things first, everybody, a big happy birthday to Keegan Murray. 24 years old today, Keegan Murray. Congratulations on another birthday, man.
You know who else's birthday it is?
No.
Chris Murray.
Oh, good. And a big shout out to Chris Murray. They're twins, I hear.
Yes.
Who else? I feel like someone else.
Turned 24 today. That's crazy.
They both turned 24. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
August, what is it, 19th birthdays? Anyone else notable from today? I hate this. Bill Clinton, John Stamos.
Oh.
I hate, this is, so when I was younger, I always said that I would not be the older person, and I don't want, I'm 34 now, I'm not like decrepit or anything, but I'm older than the generation before me and the generation before them. Like I'm, mm-hmm. And I always said, like, I'm not going to be that person that ages out, like that doesn't know what's going on in pop culture.
Okay.
I'm going to maintain a grip on what's happening in pop culture. And I have for the most part with kind of the bigger things, mm-hmm. But then I go to famousbirthdays.com.
Oh, no.
I'm going to read some of these names. Tony Lopez.
Tony the Tiger.
TikTok star.
Oh.
Taylor no. Holder. TikTok no. star. Ethan Kutkowski. TV actor, apparently. So many YouTube, TikTok. Lexi Jade. Pop singer.
Nope.
Froggy Crossing 25. No, I'm sorry. That's how old they are. Froggy Crossing?
No.
YouTube star? It just, this is, oh, Fat Joe, what's up? Fat Joe is 54? Oh my God.
See, Kyle, you've lost your way.
This is, but dude, it's just, you scroll this page, it's just a bunch of people I've never heard of who are apparently famous.
I'm going to guess John Stamos is way older than most people think he is.
John Stamos is, if I were to guess, like, just offhand, I would say, like, 50.
I'm going
to
guess.
He's definitely way older.
I'm going to guess 61.
John Stamos. Wow, nailed it. Nice job, dude. Turned 61 today.
Wow.
A big happy birthday to John Stamos.
So I think I've told you, like, the first concert I ever went to, my best friend's parents drove us up to Reno, and we saw the Beach Boys.
Sure.
And
big Marilyn Manson guys, the Beach Boys.
Oh, okay. Well, their drummer died in the late 70s, early 80s. So John Stamos is friends with the Beach Boys and filled in as the drummer for that concert.
What?
So I saw John Stamos as a drummer with the Beach Boys, and it was...
This is like before he was famous.
I don't know. I think he had... It might have been... Well, it was probably before Full House, I think.
Yeah, Full House was the late 80s?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what year it was that we went and saw that.
I feel like John Stamos is a guy who shouldn't be as famous as he is. Or maybe should be more famous than he is.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I feel like the name recognition of John Stamos is way higher than the like body of work of John Stamos.
I think you're probably correct there. Because outside of Full House, I mean, he was on ER. You know, he's done some things, but I'm trying to think what it is. So, okay, Full House was 87 to 1995. He had to have done something before that that would have made him famous enough that I knew who he was when I was that age. Either way, it was cool.
The most recent thing he did where he was in more than a couple of episodes,
yeah,
is something called Big Shot. In 2021 and 2022?
Nope.
Never heard of it?
Don't know it.
He was in Fuller House, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so he was in the video, the Kokomo video for the Beach Boys in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Me neither. I have no idea.
Interesting stuff, though.
You were reading some rankings from NBA 2K25, their top 100 players?
Yes. They really are trash. Like, I don't understand how you rank things this way. Like, we always bash on lists because, you know, it's something that we do.
Of course.
Mainly because Brock Purdy is below Tom Brady, even though he doesn't play quarterback
right.
anymore.
Right.
Keegan Murray comes in at an 80 in 2K.
Sure.
Which is, to me, that's a little low.
I have no idea.
82, 83 is where I would put him.
Okay. I'll believe you.
But he's number 99 overall. And the guys above him, first of all, are all centers. So, like, the next eight players are, like, Derek Lively, Jalen Duren, Nick Claxton, Daniel Gafford, Nikola Vucevic, Isaiah Hartenstein, and Naz Reid. Of those players, Naz Reid, you can make the argument, should be higher than mm-hmm. Keegan Murray. The rest of them, that's not even close.
But based on what? Like their overall rating?
Well, yeah, basically they have their overall rating is like an 80 or an 81.
Uh-huh.
Keegan is the first 80. Everyone below him on the list is an 81.
Okay.
But then we get into like 90 through...
And everyone above him on the list.
Yeah, so below, like from 81 to 90 rank...
Mm-hmm.
In 2K are all 81s, but I mean, I get Mike Conley and even Anfernee Simons, but then Austin Reeves at like 16 spots ahead, Brandon Miller, Klay Thompson, RJ Barrett, I wouldn't put above Keegan, Nemhard, I'm not putting him above Keegan at this part, Chris Paul.
Where did you say Ivica Zubats was?
Then he's in the next group.
Oh,
so
my God.
Between 71 and 80, they have Zubats at 76.
Okay, here's my beef, and this is my beef. This is my gripe with lists. Because I don't... Ivica Zubats is a good player. Like, he's a quality NBA player. He's a starting center in the NBA. And a pretty good one. But he's not the 76th best player in the league.
Well, yeah, even if you say...
That's a joke.
Yeah, even if you say, like, starting center in the NBA, he's, like, the 20th best starting center in the NBA.
Yeah, he's a, like, maybe replacement level or slightly above replacement level center.
Maybe.
Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
But when he goes on a list like this, now I have to come out and trash Ivica Zubats. Even though I think he's fine.
That's
what sucks about this.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the Kings would love to have Ivica Zubats as their backup five.
Okay.
Would love to have him.
Yeah.
But he starts for the Clippers, a decent little player. But like 76 is outrageous. And that turns people into going, well, man, Ivica Zubats, he sucks. No, he doesn't. He's just not 76th on whatever list this is. But again, this is 2K. I don't know where the rankings come in.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, proportionally to the rest of the centers, he's an 81, and Keegan to the rest of the small forwards is an 80. That's where I don't know, because I know the attributes are going to be different for a center versus a wing.
Yeah, but if you're going to have all those other centers, they're right with Keegan in the 90s.
Yes.
Like, I don't even know if he's better than any of those
guys. That's the other thing. Like, that he should definitely be down in that group.
He should be down in that group, and that would be fine. You know, if you want to put Valanciunas up higher, that's fine. But again, Emmanuel Quickley, Cam Thomas, and Colby White. I can take Colby White, but Quickley and Thomas, like, are they better than Keegan Murray? Like, that to me is like, and not only better, but we're talking like 18, 19 spots better, 20 spots better. No, that to me is wild. Absolutely wild.
Zubats is pretty good last year.
Zubats is fine, but
12 points, 9 boards.
1.2 blocks.
1.2 blocks, 1.4 assists. Yeah, he's not a bad player.
Yeah, but
76?
Of NBA centers, I wouldn't have him in the top 20. It's going to be really close.
I might. I don't want to go rank NBA center. But is he markedly worse than Isaiah Hartenstein?
No, and actually, I kind of like him better than Hartenstein. I mean, Hartenstein does certain things, but like,
I can't believe what did he get, like 30 million?
30 mil a year, yeah. He got, a 3-year 87. He got 29 million a year.
That's crazy.
I think the last year is like very, very partially guaranteed, and maybe even no guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, to me, I just don't get like the rankings and how we do this when, you know, you have guys that are clearly better, like, statistically, they're much better. Like, how do you just write it off?
Here's the other thing with 2K ratings and things of that ilk. You have to understand about me, I don't play video games.
Yep.
I'm not anti-video game. I just literally, I don't have the time to play them, so I don't invest the money in them.
I don't either all that much, but I do sit there and watch my son play on occasion.
Sure. But like to play the game and like sit down and devote time to it, I don't. When I have free time, there's things I'd rather do. So again, I'm not anti-video game. If you're a pro video game, salute. But I don't know enough. This is where, like, one of Keegan's big calling cards is defense. Defense, that was weird, is what he does defensively.
Yep.
So does that factor into his rating? And if so, how much? That's what I don't.
Oh no, they have defensive ratings that's built into that overall rating. That's why I'd say like Keegan Murray at like an overall rating of 80 is like 2 or 3 spots low. Like I just don't like he's a plus defender at this point.
Yes,
and he's also a guy who averaged 15 and 6. So
I got nothing, dude.
Almost 36% from 3, and coming off a year where he shot 41%. I don't know.
I got nothing. Hey, you know what I do have though on the Kings? This Malik Monk erasure in their promo materials needs to stop.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
This is a joke for the most part.
Okay.
They put out there like get your tickets today, and it's a photo. It's De'Aaron Fox. It's DeMar DeRozan. It's Domantas Sabonis.
Oh no!
Like
you got the.
Yeah, Malik Monk! Come on!
Wow.
You're trying to win this guy as Sixth Man of the Year. You got to promote him. We got to start now.
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to say, that's one of those things that like it doesn't actually bother me. But also when I saw that, I was like, they should be promoting this guy.
Well, I know a lot of times what they do is they put like their starting five and then the other guys on the outside panels of the scoreboard.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, Like, you do need to promote him. You do need to promote Keegan Murray as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that it should be a five-man. And I know that seems rude to some of the other guys, like your Trey Lyles, your Kevin Herter's. All,
yeah, but everybody,
you know.
But everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's my thing. Everybody, and again, I please understand that this is not like I'm taking shots or think the Kings are messing something up. I just thought it was wild that we had a celebratory, like, days when Malik Monk signed.
Yeah.
Or was agreed to sign with the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, key to the city. Everybody, Malik is back. He took less money. He is staying here. They're building something. This is incredible. And then on the first thing I see for tickets this year, and maybe I missed something again, and this is why I can't passionately say, but at the same time, he should be on everything.
Yeah.
Like, you've got the, that's Fox, Sabonis, DeRozan. Those are your three guys who have your most realistic chance of making the All-Star team. I totally get that. But you can't slap a fourth guy on there. you can't make that a two on one side, two on the other graphic. I think you can.
I think you can too.
I think Malik Monk is that important. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Is maybe he's not going to make an All-Star team, and maybe he doesn't have the chance to make an All-Star team that those guys do. But when you talk award winners or guys who are going to bring home a trophy, like, he's probably your best bet.
Yeah.
I mean, that. So I just, that would be my, that really just rubbed me the wrong way, I guess.
He's on a lot of their other promo material, just not the tickets on sale now. Like, I'm with you. I get
it. A lot of Malik Monk jerseys at games. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he is a beyond fan favorite, and I think you probably should highlight him like that. Yeah.
For instance, yeah. Okay, so look, yeah, it's a video of. Oh no, this is not a video of Malik Monk. This is just a video that happens to have Malik Monk in it, and then it says. Kings single game tickets on sale now presented by Ticketmaster Security to an upcoming game this season. And there's a link, and it's those three guys. Fox, Sabonis, and DeRozan.
Mm.
Come on, man.
You want more love for Malik Monk?
Yeah, that's all.
I mean,
August 15th. Don't forget, leak a playmaker too. And there's a whole thread of Malik Monk being a playmaker.
Mm.
Like, yeah, exactly. Get him into promo materials.
That's funny.
Anyways, sorry. I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
It's okay.
Just pissed. I just want my guy Malik to get his recognition. Talk some preseason. Preseason, yeah. NFL football. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Before we get to the Niner game, did you see Gardner Minshew was named the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders?
I think they listened to the Insiders.
I think they do too. Either that or they like watch...
Or they watch
they watch the two guys play quarterback.
Yeah, they watch them play quarterback.
Yeah, just this was the right move. I'm happy they did this. And I'm happy, I'm happy they did it now. Instead of doing the coy, I hate when coaches do the like, well, I'll let you know, you'll have to see week one. Like, really? You think the other team is game planning hard for like Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew? Like, no, just name a freaking starter. Let's stop with this charade.
I've told you that's always like one of the things you have to learn with every coach.
Yes.
Like, are they going to give you the rundown of who is you know, their starters for the night, or do you have to wait until 6:30?
Have you ever asked why they do that?
It's gamesmanship.
That's just it. You're just trying to gain any kind of little edge. That
yeah,
you can.
Yeah. And some coaches are all about it, and other coaches are like, oh no, here's my starters.
Yeah, like
it just depends on the coach.
I just that's what's funny. I get it if when Malik Monk got hurt last year,
mm-hmm.
if Mike Brown immediately after the game went, "Yep, he's done for at least the regular season." Don't know what we're gonna do rotation wise yet. Even if he does know, okay, that's fair. That makes sense. But if it's night of, and your game starts in what, an hour?
Yeah,
you think the other team is gonna throw together like a different? They know what they're doing already.
You
like,
know,
they're going to run their stuff.
I have had coaches and like, hey, can you go find out like who, like I've had an assistant, hey, who are they starting tonight? And I'm like, I don't know. Did they say anything about player X? I'm like, no, they kind of gave like the, you know, he's not playing. Okay, well, if you hear anything, let us know. So they are trying to like figure out like how to match up.
I would love to know how, like, because the difference, I guess the difference between knowing that an hour and a half before the game and when does starting lineups come out? Half an hour?
6:30. 6:30 for a 7 o'clock start. Yeah.
Half an hour before first dip. The difference between an hour and a half and half an hour, that hour is going to make a difference in how you're going to go about this?
Maybe.
I don't know, man.
You could change your starting lineup if a big player is not playing, but yeah,
that's different.
Yeah.
If it's Keon Ellis or
Kevin Herter starting in a game. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, like you're starting five and you're going to go do your stuff.
Yeah.
I get it for a playoff game. I totally get it for a playoff game.
Okay.
If you had an injury mid-series and you're now trying to figure it out and you don't want to give that team anything, okay. But in the middle of February, I don't know.
Well, either way, I think the Raiders did the right thing at this point.
I do too.
By naming the right starter. 1,000%. And like, look, Aiden O'Connell could be like a perfectly good backup in the league.
And that's what
but
I think he
I just
is.
Have a really tough time seeing him as anything other than that.
So when Ian Rappaport reported yesterday, was it Saturday? Whenever that first got reported, I saw that Ian Rappaport said Aiden O'Connell waits. Like, does he though? Are we that high on Aiden O'Connell?
That seems really, really
yeah. Like
you're
I just
stretching
don't,
it.
Yeah, if Gardner Minshew is a gap quarterback or a stopgap quarterback. Then great, but it can't be a stopgap to O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. And again, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm flat out wrong, and he's the next great NFL quarterback. But I just haven't seen it, and I just don't know after 2 years if the Raiders are looking at him and going, "Yeah, that's our guy for the future." Because he's 2 years in. I don't know.
I don't see it.
I don't either.
And I also think that like bringing in Gardner Minshew is a perfect bridge to the next quarterback.
I totally agree.
So he should be the starter this year. He should open next season. He did send 2 year deal, if I'm not mistaken. He should probably open next season as your starter for the first 3 to 4 games. And you should have the next guy lined up ready to take over. Unless he's just so good that you've got to have him.
Which I don't think he's going to be. But if he's so awful that you have to move on, then great. Then Aiden O'Connell is fine.
Get one more shot to show that you're the guy, and if you're not through the final 6-7 games of the season, then
sure.
Okay.
Then you move on. I like the Raiders over this year, man.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be good. I think Gardner Minshew is the kind of quarterback that is just going to do the right thing and feed Devontae Adams or Brock Bowers or Michael Mayer or whoever it happens to be. Like, I think you're going to get a lot of effort Devontae down there somewhere throws.
Yeah.
And I think that works. Like, Devontae Adams is one of the 5 best receivers in the league.
No, I totally
like,
agree.
Feeding the football, and I think you're going to see that a lot this year with Minshew.
Yeah, he's been devalued a bit by being there in Las Vegas, but I still think he's got the potential to put up, you know, the 1,500 yards and 10 touchdown number.
Where are the Raiders here? Raiders 6.5?
Oh, I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the over, dude.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm buying Gardner Minshew too much, but I like the vibes there. I like what they're doing defensively. And Gardner Minshew is like, he almost quarterbacked the Colts to the playoffs.
That's wild.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I like him as a quarterback. Like, he's been around long enough. He was a starter for a year. He was a starter for half a year. And then he's just kind of worked his way through over the last couple of years. You know, getting games here and there, but I think he can still play. I would have more faith in him than I do Sam Darnold.
Ooh.
And certainly more than I watched. Did you see any clips of the Broncos playing?
No.
First of all, what in the world are they wearing?
Their uniforms are so bad. That I've seen.
The bright orange pants?
They're really not good.
They look like
our guy Guru
Caltrans
from
cones.
Dude, our guy Guru from 95.7 said they look like Boise State uniforms. That's exactly what they look like.
It is so bad.
It doesn't look good.
It's so bad.
It's not a good look.
And they've got, what's his name? The Jets backup. Well, the Jets.
Zach Wilson.
Oh, dude. Who was just a mess.
Training camp is so funny. Diana Rossini from The Athletic is at Broncos training camp. and immediately lets us know that Bo Nix runs this offense to perfection.
Oh.
How do you know that? It's practice. It's training camp.
Wow.
Like, you don't, there's no way you know whether he runs the offense to perfection or not. Secondly, she was like, Zach Wilson, he needed a change of scenery and he looks good. He's making the right reads and he's showing off his strong arm and da 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 da. Like, dude, look, I get that A, that's part of access.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Diana Rossini is plugged in. Like, I'm sure she has talked to coaches and she's seeing what she's seeing and then she's hearing stuff from coaches and she's letting that form her opinion and she's doing her reporting. That's why she gets paid huge money to do that. But like Zach Wilson, really, and maybe Bo Nix is right. Maybe Bo Nix is going to be awesome. Maybe he's the second coming of Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why I said Justin Herbert. I'm not a Justin Herbert guy, but they both went to Oregon. Maybe he's going to be better than people thought he would be. But the Zach Wilson thing, we're doing the Zach Wilson thing still?
I'm surprised he's in the league.
Bro, we've seen it already. We know what Zach Wilson is.
He's not good.
He's just not good. And that's no. That's okay.
Yeah.
Trying to be like, wow, he just needed a change of scenery. He's going to be awesome now. No, he's not.
Yeah.
I promise.
I mean, he couldn't even back up Aaron Rodgers for a year. And, you know.
Dude.
I wouldn't want him there.
That defense was so good. If they got mid-ass quarterback play last year, they would have been a playoff team.
Oh, no, totally.
But he was such a disaster.
Every week.
Every week. Yeah. Every time he stepped on a football field.
And then it was like,
except for the one game he outplayed Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, then you're like, oh, wait, has he figured it out? It's like, no, he hasn't figured it out.
No.
He's just bad.
He's just not good. It's okay.
He's not good
at all.
It's okay. He can go do something else.
It's okay. He's just not very good.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a career backup. Maybe he finds a lane as a backup, and maybe that change of scenery allows him to be an adequate player in the event that the Broncos need him to come in and make a couple of spot starts. Maybe he can be something north of a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not buying the Zach Wilson is suddenly good again hype.
I've got good news for you, Kyle.
Oh, yeah?
Tuesday, August 20th, which, of course, is National Radio Day. They've invited us to a group photo.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Between 11:30 and 11:45.
Huge. Huge.
Between 11:30 and 11:45, Kyle.
No, that's fine. So what we're going to do is we're going to adjust our breaks tomorrow.
Oh.
Actually, no. I'm going to tell Kim, hey, we break at 11:28.
Oh.
We will be out there at 11:28.
You better take our picture.
We will be there.
That's right.
Do you have your ESPN 1320 t-shirt?
No, I don't have one.
How do you not have one?
I don't know.
Have you asked for one?
I'll wear a sweatshirt. I'll wear the insider sweatshirt.
It's hot.
I don't. Oh no.
It's too hot for a hoodie.
Not in here.
Just wear.
Air conditioned okay. Building.
No, it's fine.
Take
that's
the hoodie
fine.
Off.
Maybe I'll wear both.
As long as I don't grab the wrong hoodie again and I can't get in it. Remember when my shoulder was jacked up? I couldn't get out. I put my son's hoodie on accident, yeah. And then couldn't get out of the hoodie. Like bad news.
Yeah, grab the right hoodie for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, National Radio Day tomorrow. Shout out. All right. We got to talk about the Niners preseason win. And I want to talk about NFL preseason in general because I'm ready to punt it into the sun. We'll talk about why next. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.